Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume. Improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast, and I'm your host, Carl Fiadini. And we're podcasting on site at Ibis Images Studios, where food photography comes alive. Get with John Hernandez. Check him out at ibisimages.com. Today, we are talking bone-in bison fillets and 14-day dry-aged Duroc pork chops. And our amazing, talented, awesome Hollywood Schlissel of the Hollywood Schlissels, and how he cooks it up, Mr. Sir Chef Jeffrey Schlissel. How you doing, brother?
I'm in recovery mode.
I know you are, bro.
Yeah, it's been a whirlwind, a roller coaster of a week, to say the least.
Yeah, but you're kicking ass.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got it when you're doing what, you know, behind the scenes. I even told a couple of people they should actually make a bylaw change that if you want to get on the board and sit on the board, that you have to be at least one time in the kitchen assisting, because they get to see the... It's not like you're... I dream a genie where, poof, the food comes out. There's a lot more to it than just doing that.
Sounds like debauchery. Let's get into it. But first, let's... I want to hear about... Look, first of all... What happened today? For everybody who's listening, what happened today is pure carnage.
I looked over at his kitchen counters. I told you it went against my religion to leave it like that.
It's okay. What's more important is what ended up on the plates. Let's talk about these sexy dishes. Go.
Yeah. So we did two versions of the Duroc, a dry aged 14-day Duroc pork chop, and it just leads another level. I was talking to Vicky Webster and she's like, you can't dry age pork. It gets slimy. I'm like, yeah, they figured it out. And it's just so much more depth to it. So we did, there's two different types. I have one rub that we did was a beet powder and blackening seasoning. I wanted something that was really deep and rich, complex. And then after we cooked that, we kind of took the fig jam and spread it on top, served that with donut peaches, which are in season right now, some Florida corn, a little bit of garlic, a little bit of Tuscan kale for green, a little bit of heat from the fresco peat peppers. And then we have the beautiful oil that we get over from Molina Oil, that nice, beautiful Italian spiced infused oil.
Calabrian.
Yeah, really pops out. The second version of the pork chop we did was more of an Italian influence. We had some copa, we had some prosciutto, but I didn't want to throw it on there just like deli-ish. So I crisped that up, threw in some fennel pollen, some fennel, and then fennel seed, some sage, some even cooked the sage to get it crispy, took the fennel, beautiful, like those little green leaves that are spiky, and then caramel or crispy that up, put that with some mushrooms, some burrata, and you know, because I have to bring the burrata in that. And then we used the Tuscan kale too, so it gave us some char to that.
Today was fun.
Yeah,
like it was, you know, it's always fun, right? I mean, what we do here is pretty amazing, but like the dry aged pork chops and the bone in bison, like it was just really, it reminded me like we should be out on a, you know, on the trail somewhere, you know, out in the prairie,
yeah,
over a stone fire or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And exactly the first presentation we did of the bison bone in, I wanted to kind of emulate that, took a very dark plate, mm-hmm, wanted to give it that feel, charred the corn on the cob, stacked that up and like staggered, charred the fresco pepper. So when you get listeners see this picture, there's going to be like little rosettes. That's actually literally the paper or the skin of the pepper that I kind of rolled up into that and formed the rose. And then we have charred peaches on there as well. So I wanted to make it that, you know, you're out on camping and you're on the trail, like you said. And the second version of that, I made like a mushroom and Tuscan kale ragu.
Let me tell you something. I love it. It's good. My God.
So I definitely had fun today.
If my name was Fabio, it would be perfecto. And if he's ever hearing me talk like this, he knows what I mean, Fabio.
That's out to a buddy of mine. Gotcha.
Yeah. So, all right. You worked 7 days, mm-hmm, like straight.
Yep.
Yeah. But you were hanging out with some serious people. Talk about the ACF.
You know, the national convention, there'll be people always ask me what's great about the ACF. And I'm always going to point to the networking abilities. But the convention in itself, it's when my family, when the cartel family gets together, and we can see each other and catch up and spend some time. And good God, if it wasn't for them on Monday morning. So we had Justin Sutherland, a great guy, was in a terrible, terrible boating accident last year. Missed his opportunity to come out. They invited him to be the keynote. I love the guy to death. I even called him out on Sunday at the opening reception. I said, dude, you're a barbecue dude. He's like, yeah. I'm like, what's the deal with the pho? And like I told you, the pho was 9 different touches for 900 people. That's 81,000 touches.
And what I said to you was, get the pho out of here.
Yeah, right? Exactly. I mean,
because that sounds like an enormous amount of work.
It would have been for two of us. Jeremy, Abby, and I were kind of the, you know, the cohorts in the back, and we rocked it all out. Jeremy did a phenomenal job, you know, before and during organizing some of the stuff that needed to be done. Ryan Manning needs a huge chef. Ryan Manning came out and was volunteering to help out.
When you're dropping the names, mm-hmm, you got to say where they're from.
Jeremy Abby's from Detroit, Michigan. Ryan Manning is literally right up the street in Orlando. Jason Pooker from Missouri, he's the prime trucking driver. Believe it or not, they have a chef there. He feeds 1,700 in-house people a day. He's got a great story. I can't wait to get him on the show. All the cartel people, we have Jacqueline Quinn. She was screaming at me. She's like, thank you for your podcast. She lives in Dallas. She drove 5.5 hours, and all she did was download the podcast and listen. And I was like, well, how was it? She's like, I love it. And we were talking to somebody, one of the vendors of the trade show, and I was talking about Michael, the Michelin star, Michael Kalantis. And then all of a sudden she hits me and she goes, is that the dude about the dirty hot dogs? And he went real south after that. And I'm like, yes, that was Michael. There was a great time. There was an opportunity where you and I were texting and I'm sitting at a table and somebody looks at me and goes, how the heck do you guys come up for the ideas in the food show? I said, oh my God, as a matter of fact, let me show you. You're like, what do you want to cook today? What are you going to cook? How about this? How about that? And I'm okay. Friday's okay. And I go, that's literally how we come up with the ideas. And they're like, well, keep doing what you're doing because it's fantastic.
Yeah, a lot of people, I mean, we do, obviously there is a lot of thought into our show and overall what we're doing, but a lot of times it's a shotgun.
Yeah, really.
From the hip.
Yeah. I think we went to some really good restaurant places, but I, you know, every restaurant we went to, I think it's actually the people you get to speak to. And I really got to speak some just wonderful human beings.
You know, normally I'm not about name dropping, but today and only today, you're allowed to do it. Yeah. You know, I'm opening the doors. Let's do it.
So I met the corporate, I don't know his exact title. For me, he's the corporate executive pastry chef for a small little business called Disney World.
Which one is that?
Yeah. Okay. Chef Stefan was just, you know, you look at that individual, and my first question to him was, after we met and got introduced, I said, at your level, do you still get in the kitchen and cook? Because, you know, at that level, how much can you? And he goes, and I'm like, how do you come up with your ideas? And he looked at me and he goes, I speak to people like you because you guys are innovative and you're out there doing it. And it's not like I'm going to copy you. I'm not going to emulate you, but I'm seeing what you're doing. And I was like, wow, that's really cool. But he also has an R&D kitchen that he does a lot of stuff with.
He goes out of his way to stay on trend.
Yeah, huge. The guy just, his whole story is not to be a pun, but it's magical. It really is.
All right.
Yeah. the next person I would have to, you know, I saw Elle Simone. A couple of years ago, we met during the Women's Summit, and Elle looked absolutely radiant. She has dropped an amazing amount of weight, and she's just one of those people just at her level. She's still just a human being, and that's what I love. They still connect to the individuals, and that's fantastic. Amy Sins, she won a presidential award. She's like one of these local New Orleans chefs, but she's also one that helped out in Hurricane Ian.
Yeah, I mean, Amy got an award.
Ryan Keith, Manning.
Keith Saracen. Keith Brian Saracen, Manning got awards, yeah.
And Dina Aldridge also, she was a real, these are all members of the Cartel family. They all got presidential awards. So it was really, and also Dina actually got inducted to the AAC, which is the American Academy of Chefs, and which is a huge, big deal. So hats off to her. Hats off to Rocco Paradiso, got an honorary one as well. He was the voice of the ACF for years, up until I think a year ago at least. The other names, Jordan Wagman, didn't have any idea. He was from Canada. We start talking. He's like, oh, I went to school in Fort Lauderdale. I'm like, well, he said the other version of that. I'm like, no, it's Fort Lauderdale. And he went to the Fort Lauderdale Art Institute. And I was like, really? And he goes, yeah, you know, Bimini Boatyard. And we started going off. And there's this one gentleman who just started listening to us. His name is Tony DeFranco. He actually has no
idea. Wait, what's his name?
Tony DeFranco. Yeah. His daughter is going to culinary school with Pam Bedford out of Gainesville, Florida. She's a high school teacher. Allison, his daughter, is a senior. She wanted to come, and he drove his daughter, got stuck in Alabama, literally on a bridge. Couldn't even get out of his car, like what happened to John when we were filming over in St. Pete that one time. And they had to get a tow truck. By the time they got in, it was like 13 hours later. They were there the next day. He stayed toe-to-toe with most of us, almost all of us, the whole time. I mean, he rocked it, and so did Allison. She killed it, too. Another big name that we talked to. So what happened was with DeFranco and I and Jordan, when he started talking about Bimini Boatyard, we all three of us started talking about two things: Kong chowder, Bimini bread. Mm-hmm. That was all. That's just what started the whole thing. And I'm like, I'm still searching for a Bimini bread recipe. Gerald's Sunbright was there. There was Chris Vaughn and his buddies. I only remember the last name is Solomon was the one guy's name. I can't remember off the hand of him, so I apologize. The three of them were just rock stars. They did their own, they were serving Haitian food, but they did it with their own twist with gumbo, and it was just outstanding.
Sock passe?
Yeah, naboule.
I got you, baby.
And I was like, babaku, five star. And he had actually a huge bottle. He's lucky he got that out of the room because I was going to steal it.
Don't you dare.
The other guys or people that we ran into was vice president to the small little thing called the James Beard Foundation.
What's that? I'm kidding.
Another gentleman we ran into and we had dinner with was the vice president of nutrition for the Utah Jazz. So there's another aspect of the industry that I didn't even know about. So that was really cool to get to know them. Keith introduced me to this gentleman, Manish Patel. He has a wonderful restaurant called Tava in New Orleans in the Warehouse District. And he's just an incredible individual and does great Northern cuisine. And the next, that was Tuesday night, and the following night I was offered to come with them, and I could not turn that down. We went to his uncle's place called Saffron, and Saffron on Nola.
Legit.
Even his uncle came out to the table and he was talking about the Southern cuisine and how he was from the North and he got involved in it. You know, obviously, you know, Keith was amped up. I met a new team member for Keith's team. Her name was Nicole. This woman is hands down a rock star. She's in the age of how long she's been on the earth. You wouldn't say, you know, this is BS. She has such an old soul in culinary and she knows what she's doing and she's just so intelligent and how she puts things together and gravitated to the Indian cuisine that Keith is teaching is just amazing.
Didn't I see a picture or something with a gal with a Michelin or something like that?
She had 3-star Michelin.
Yeah
little, Ryan.
Little something there too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Ryan got to hang out with her. But it's just amazing because you get to meet all these wonderful people and like people are coming up to me like, do you know who that is? I'm like, I have no idea. To me, they're just human beings. I think the only chef that I met through the ACF that kind of geeked me out and I was like starstruck and he's and most down to earth, humble individual was Ivan Orkin. Just a great human being. But I also love hanging out with somebody who cooks, who's Jewish that cooked the best ramen food in Japan. And out of 8,000 restaurants, he was number one as far as that's concerned. So it's pretty cool. Justin Sutherland, like I mentioned. But for me, it's more like, you know, Chef Jay-Z and all the family members, Suzanne Greer, and I get to see them, get to meet with them and hang out with them. We have a new member of the cartel family. Her name's Morgan. She was walking around for 3 days. And she was about to have like an episode and she did it right in front of Fiona Espinana. So Fiona was like, don't worry, I got your back. I understand. And we kind of like put her underneath a cartel umbrella. And she was just, you see the facial expression just immediately changed. She felt like she was a part of something. And that's what it's all about. I mean, if you're at a convention, the best thing that you need to do when you see somebody is say hello to them, get to know them. Alan Madick, who was there, is another guy who's a friend of mine. He actually volunteered the entire day, every day for membership until I think it was Tuesday because he was in taking care of his new grandbaby. So that was really awesome to see that as well. excuse me. My recovery, like I said, is still going on.
We had an opportunity to speak a little bit the other day and I genuinely felt for you. Because I heard your voice and I knew that you had just you'd been through the ringer.
Was that Thursday?
I don't remember the day, man. I just remember like when we were on the phone, I was like, damn, this, you know, buddy got buddy got beat up.
Yeah. So Wednesday to Thursday.
It was the cornstarch. I mean,
No, I didn't need corn. The New Orleans heat.
Man. I'm saying like, what do you, you know, like that's.
Yeah, that's legit. So, I mean, for me, it was that Wednesday morning. I woke up at 5:30 in the morning. I had my flight was supposed to leave out at 5:30 in the morning. I was out with Stefan and Alejandra, another wonderful Mexican chef. She's the second year she's been there. Amazing. She made tamales. She told us about tamal, where it comes from. We had 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 chefs from the Navajo school. They threw down fried bread that was just amazing. They did a presentation on Native American cuisine. And when they threw it down and they gave me the actual fry bread, what was really cool about it was it tasted just like a roti that was like done in a tandoor. And Keith happened to be in the room at that time because we had to shuck 200 oysters.
Oh my gosh.
By the way, all the cooking we did for this convention was done on 4 induction burners and an oven.
Just something, a piece of information. You shuck 200 oysters.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. For how many people?
About 150.
Okay. So, you know, when I was growing up in the 80s, our family, we used to go to Sebastian Inlet.
Right.
And we would go clamming. And we would have garbage bags
full
of clams for 30 people, garbage bags of clams.
Right.
We, you know, you do the whole, you know, the shucking and the whole thing. I'm just saying, like, we, you know, I put in some work.
Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
The funny thing is when you have guys and the people that were actually doing the, the people that were actually doing the shucking, they're from the Northeast. So it was BJ, which is Keith's sous chef, Ashton, who is this wonderful human being who is actually, I'm going to drop another name. He's kind of a big deal in the industry. Ashton is actually the R&D chef for Thomas Keller.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He's a great individual. He was on Chopped. He's just, it's like you look at him and you know he's going to go somewhere, and he's going to go somewhere quick, and he's going to go somewhere fast. He's a really great human being. We had the young chef's president also shucking, Isaiah. He's an individual that's another one I have to keep an eye on because he's going to be just like Ashton, if not better. And then you have these guys from the Northeast shucking these Mama Luke oysters. And they're like, where are these from? This is, I'm like, they're not from New Jersey. That's what we get down here. This is what we do. Keith actually was the first time he actually had a grilled oyster was at Saffron, which is butter. They do little, like a little, you know, crumb on top, and they did their own twist with some Indian ingredients. He's like, I've never had this. He took it. He's like, I'm not going to say it's bad. It's different, but I really love it. So it was something that was great to see that he get to see something that he's never eaten or seen before in NOLA.
Well, you know, what I really want to do, at some point, because, you know, I've not really been out there on Indian cuisine. Right. And you did a few weeks back or a few shows ago, we did something that had a little bit of a Indian flair to it. I really would love to expand on that. And maybe have, you know, Keith or you know, one of the others you were just mentioning to, you know, to come on the show, get here, we'll cook a little bit. You know what I mean?
Well, there's one individual I ran into at the pop-up for Keith and Manish. The gentleman was sitting in the left-hand corner. I didn't know who he was. He was in a deuce. Later on, they were at the Marriott, and I came up and somebody introduced us, and I started talking to him. Lo and behold, he's actually, his name is Sean Pooch Rivera, and he's like a local, like star chef in NOLA's, and he's on Net Geo, and we got to talking, and he's so amped up about coming to Florida. So, Pooch, I just threw it out there. You're coming. And if you want to bring Manish, I know he's in Chicago. The two of you guys, definitely.
Yeah. That's Foodie Patootie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Foodie he's Patootie. A cool cat, man. I mean, just a great individual.
He seems like it. And he was digging your, shit show supervisor t-shirt on Instagram.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah. You know, I have to represent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We need to get him on. He's probably cool.
Everybody. I mean, everybody.
Yeah, not that anybody else wasn't cool, you know? Right. But I mean, it just, you know, he seems,
And it's all here's the lo and behold, the long and short of it. Every meal we had, it didn't matter how good or bad the meal was. What made it even amplified it even more was the people we were having the food and the dinner with. And that's true. I mean, food brings people together.
So I just want to be clear about something. Okay. Coming here to Ibis Images Studios and doing what we did, I kind of brought it up today. Back in my early 20s, you know, 21, 22, something like that, a bunch of guys and gals that we used to work together in the industry, we would get together on a Sunday night or whatever it was that we would get together, and we would cook all sorts of cool stuff. You know, there'd be a lot of alcohol involved too, naturally, because it was, you know, that was the time. But we would do all these things, play poker, and it was like really a camaraderie, and it was awesome. That what we're doing is to me reminiscent of that. Like I think going forward, if I was to look forward, 20 years, I'm going to look back on this and this is going to be like just a super awesome memory experience or whatever to kind of lean on. You follow?
Yeah, 100%.
Because I think what we're doing here is special and we're doing, it's fun. And the food, oh God. God, I mean.
Imagine having some of the chefs that are going to be that we're talking about come in and do some of their style of food.
Dude, bro, bruh. Okay. Like B-R-U-H. You hear me? Like I'm telling you, I think that's going to be the coolest thing ever. It's almost going to be like a social club for chefs and people like me.
Yeah.
Well, chefs and me
and John. And John.
Yeah. All right. So let's move on to something. A couple of weeks ago, we touched on the lab grown.
Yeah. That was, don't even ask me what day it is.
Yeah, I know.
I had to ask people.
You're still funky, but you're still, you know, you came right today with the food, man.
Like, well, I'm still under that, you know, got to get the food out mentality.
Good. I'm glad. I mean, you're certainly not into, you know, cleaning up, but that's
fine. Yeah. Sorry, John.
Last night, Mrs. Nicole Cruz from Circle C Farms, we recorded three podcasts.
She actually had the time to do three.
Well, I had to, I have the kids, man, like they destroy everything. I love them so much, but my goodness, I can't, she was like, Carl, you want to like kind of knock out a few more? I'm like, you want to? She's like, yeah. I'm like, yeah. Okay. Truth is she's, you know, infinitely more busy than me, but, we were able to put it together. So we did touch on the lab grown also. And I feel like we need to stick on this subject for a little bit.
Yeah. I did talk to a couple of the chefs too, while we're there, and you know, pretty much their consensus was, yeah, no.
Out of 200, you know, when we did the poll, 98% of everybody, bless you.
Perfect timing,
because, you know, we're bringing Nicole in right now. And, Nicole, how are you?
Salute.
I am great. I am loving listening to you guys in the background over there.
Oh, in the green room. That's right.
Yeah, you're in the green room.
It's gotten
yeah.
long distance now.
Yeah. Well, we're live.
Actually, Nicole, it's funny is I actually mentioned Gerald Sunbright actually lives down in Naples, and I mentioned you and your farm, and he goes, he knows of you. He's into meats too. I need to connect the two of you. I just got his card. I'll send you his information. He's been on Bravo. He's just a really very, very knowledgeable on beef, and I would love to hook the two of you up. So that would help you both out.
Cool. Thanks.
Yeah. My pleasure.
All right. So listen, we have, the farmer, we have the chef, and we're talking lab grown proteins. Is it Frankenstein or what? What are we talking about here?
Yeah. I want chickens to pick my feet and my sandals.
See? Okay. All right. Okay. Did you prime him for that?
No, I listened to it.
He listened.
Oh, okay.
Somehow this morning I got that blink and I got a link and it was like, oh. I'm like, oh, I was just voluntold again. I better listen to this.
Coffee conversation.
He came prepared today a little bit, you know?
That's all I listened to.
Well, hey, how was that door rock?
Stupid. It was so okay. Stupid. Like,
it was literally like the Wagyu of pork. You didn't even need a knife to it. John's still over here salivating. Then.
Even John said, he goes, I don't know where you're going to end up or what you're going to do, but that needs to be on a menu.
Yeah. Especially the one that with the beet and the blackening rub that we did. That was the one he was talking about.
Which rub was on there?
Beet and blackening seasoning.
My God. Nicole.
And fig jam.
Yeah. And fig jam.
Sounds lovely.
Do you remember wasn't that long ago, several hours ago when we did our thing, I told you how excited I was about today?
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table.
Yes, you were, and that was before we even got on.
Yeah,
on
you started talking. Podcast, you started talking about Wagyu, and then we got into that primed me. It got me excited about today.
Yeah,
and as it turns out, my expectations were not only met but beat. Like, I am so effing happy right now. Like,
oh, he actually beat himself.
I beat myself. See? I'm good.
He beat himself.
Yeah. I'm in control here. I'm large.
You know, actually, other listeners have told me, they're like, I'm so surprised I don't cuss and you're the one that does.
But I don't cuss. It was only a few times.
Look at the face on him. And Nicole's laughing at you right now.
You guys are out to get me. That's why.
Well, I'm quite free flowing, just not on recording.
Yeah.
Well. Listen, Nicole, the eye roll that John just did was absolutely the same as my wife and my daughter do to me. It was perfect.
All right, Frank, back to the Frankenstein petri dish here. Okay, you guys suck. All right, what's
Frank and meat?
No, all right. So basically, yesterday we were talking about how the general consensus at the moment is it's really not being embraced, and that's kind of where we are in this situation. And unless there's a major marketing campaign to make it sound pretty, I don't know how they're going to get around the. I don't know how they're going to make people want to just jump in bed with this.
I think they're just going to slide it in and pretend like it's always been here.
Go ahead.
I'm not going to do it.
From that standpoint.
That's what she said.
Lord, have mercy.
Oh, my goodness.
Nicole, you should have seen You should have seen the two 12-year-olds at the table, looked at each other, and I went, go ahead.
I passed on it, Nicole, and they pulled me in. You understand? Oh,
my God. I do. And to blame it on them, it's much
John
easier.
Just pointed at me and it said it was me, and it wasn't. I didn't say a word.
It was all you. I didn't. Anyway, so...
Yeah, so but that, I chicken. Think, I don't think they'll ever cultivated. Be able to do it. And here's the reason why for me. Think about GMO. If European Union has an issue with GMO and they don't allow in, GMO with materials, you think they're going to allow that in? There's not, and if all no. the you know, all the people with the vaccine, oh, I can't do it because there's not enough medical data on it. What's the medical data on lab growth? Meat.
True story.
And that's exactly what we were talking about when we were rocking this out on the podcast yesterday. And my whole thing is, yeah, but if Europe is not touching GMOs, they're not going to touch this.
RNA,
that doesn't mean that we're not going to.
My body, my RNA. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. 100%.
But they're going to roll it out and they're going to meet the minimum label requirements. Whatever those may be.
I was going to ask, what could be the minimal label requirements on growing meat? Nobody's grown meat in a lab before.
No, but USDA has approved it. And the label requirement is that say cultivated or cell cultivated meats.
That's great.
But I honestly haven't gone. I haven't gone and looked to see what the micro sized writing is going to be required in order to have it disclosed. But when you put chicken next to chicken and people become accustomed to it because they condition the general populace to think that it's been here all along. Why worry about it? It's just chicken. Don't sweat that. It's just chicken. It tastes like chicken. And they just put it there next to the other real chicken and people will grab it and they'll just become conditioned. And then, I read the fact that the two chefs have jumped on this, one on each coast. And maybe it's because they want to be in the forefront of it, but as somebody
paid.
In the farming and, well, possibly, but I don't know that. So I won't,
I'll throw it out there because that's not, speculation too yeah. on my part.
Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, it could also be that from a philosophical standpoint, because to Carl's point last night is that there are places that are food deserts. And if we need to address food and hunger, we need to address food and hunger. But I don't know that that's the way to address it. And
look, so, I was trying to find.
That's a personal opinion.
And all I was trying to do is, I try to be fair. I really tried to be a balanced individual.
Yeah.
And I'm looking for something to say, okay, you know what? If this is something that's going to happen, then what are the positives that we can attach mm-hmm. to it? Right.
And we did. We said natural resources, the no cross contamination.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, no feed, no bird. Was it 30% normally in a commodity chicken farm? Is 30% death rate or even higher?
Yeah. So Ireland is looking to.
Not on my farm, but yeah.
Yeah, I know. I said that's why I said commodity farm. Well, listen, not your farm.
Yeah, commodity stuff.
Hear this. So Ireland is looking to destroy 200,000 animals, cows, in for this. In other words, to usher in this the lab grown product. So you're going to destroy.
So they're going to.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
they're going to destroy livestock so that they can have petri dish beef.
That's what it sounds like. I mean, we're looking at
it's to fight the climate change.
Yeah, but the climate change is part of this whole.
Yeah, because that's why we have our hot flashes right now. It's not the other pollutants.
Yeah, it's cow farts. Cow farts are making everything terrible. Come on, give me a break over here.
Well, that was
okay. It has.
That was my fight with vegans. I was like, I'm not eating vegetables because they can actually help the earth. I'm eating the problem, which is the cows and the pigs, and I'm having a lot more fun doing it.
Right.
They love me.
Well, I have a plant-based farm.
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do. I mean, my cows eat grass, my chickens eat grass. I'm eating plant-based meat.
That's correct.
Yep. And so do your pigs.
And
so do the pigs.
Everybody on the farm is everything is grass-based. But here's the thing. The climate and everything in conjunction with the beef and what they're looking to do with it's all connected. Mm-hmm. All of it is connected. And, you know, what's going to happen if there isn't any other traditional livestock left? Like, you know, that's obviously what the play is.
You guys are forgetting one other aspect of things. People, and I sent you the shot of it, and you're like, absolutely not. Remember what? I showed you the brownies?
What?
The brownies I was cooking when I was in the O'Nolans.
Yeah.
We had a guy named Joseph Voon. He was presenting his bug-based diet.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So we made...
Yeah, we talked about that, too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Mealworm and cricket powder, brownies, and then we did guacamole with black ant caviar, quote-unquote. You know, they're plentiful, and everyone here in South Florida, when you're riding a bike or in Florida, riding a bike or even walking, or even cutting your grass, you're going to get gnats or anything else in your mouth while you're eating.
Of course.
Yeah, this one's looking at me like, F, no.
Yeah, seriously. I should drop an F-bomb on this. I'm not going to. But that's how strong I feel against it. Like, you're not going to make me. Nobody's going to make me eat freaking bugs. I'm sorry. Ain't happening.
Yeah, but how did it taste?
There was no taste, to be honest with you. I mean, if you taste it,
so
like it's
just
normal.
Like flour?
Yeah, if you tasted the cricket powder normal, there was some distinct flavors to it. Like I had a little bit of vanilla. The ants smelt like chocolate. When you tasted the ants, they had a little bit of a lemon or a tartness to them. The mealworms, because they were fried, I mean, Christ, you can fry my finger and it's going to taste good. So it doesn't really matter. Yeah. I mean,
get out of here.
And even it was, which is funny, we had some students in there and I gave them the brownie to taste. And then one of them looked and he's like, there's bugs in this. And the other girl goes, I just finished mine. I'm okay. And I'm like, you want more? She's like, no, I'm good. So as soon as she realized it, but before that, she was like, oh, this is really good.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm going to kick back to when we're consuming these bugs. Okay, I'll bite on that, no pun intended. How are we cleaning and sanitizing, and what chemicalization process are we going through in order to make these
That's a great question.
Bugs edible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great. Joseph, if you're listening, go ahead and email me, thekingpin@baconcartel.
Yeah, Joseph, look, no offense or anything, but my palate doesn't call for creepy crawlies.
Well, but
there are some out there that think that's the next protein source and it's a viable protein.
Guess what? That might be a great protein source for somebody else or a group of others. I don't care. Oh. That's not what I want. That's not my culture. You're not taking away my cheese and my prosciutto and you kiss my ass.
No.
Like seriously, I'm not doing that.
But to the point though, it's totally acceptable for people to choose what they consume, whether it's
100%.
cultivated meats or the pasture raised like what we do. But it's a choice. I think the bigger issue is that it's not becoming a choice.
Correct.
So I don't care what other people choose to eat, but don't try to control and manipulate my choice of what I choose to eat.
Not from my cold, dead palate.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Yes, that was what.
Yes.
Yes, your trademark, your new trademark.
Hashtag. You heard it here first, folks.
Yeah, hashtag. Sorry. Hashtag. So, you know, whatever people want to do, they can petri dish all they want. I mean, they've had mock meat around for a long time.
I mean, look, Aldi got slapped again for horse meat.
Yeah, you saw that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as long as you label your ingredients.
Well, in some countries, it's a delicacy.
Well, in Europe, they're allowed to do that. And in the Middle East, they're allowed to do that. I mean, listen, you could do that here as long as you put it on the packaging. And let's talk about the USDA. When they put something on the package and said beef, it might not be beef. It could be other realms of beef, stuff that people would normally not eat, which is called the offals.
Well, you know, there's and a lot of the the hell is that?
That was my phone.
Oh, okay. So I thought it was like they're here. The alphabet, they arrived at the door.
It's the lab-based chicken people.
Oh, my goodness. It's, my goodness. All right. So, Jose, forget it. All
Jose right. Andres' people.
That was him at the door.
Yeah, he's like, get open the door.
All right. You know, I totally lost my train of thought, man. Like, you trying to run a professional show here.
And he's not drinking. Maybe that's the problem.
That's, you know what? Can somebody,
And we're not having to beep him.
Not yet.
All right. I don't know.
We were talking about lab-based meats. No, that was me the other day. I had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm not going to get forced into any of this stuff. I think everyone should have their place or an opinion, rather.
Opinions are like, you know, the other thing, too.
Sure. Yeah, and that's where they can stick the bugs. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Well, here in Florida, you might just find them there.
True. Oh, my God. That's so true.
It's so hot. It's 110 today.
I've never seen so many, as many horse flies as I've seen around my house. It's crazy. Like, you look and there's these ominous, you know, they're like little Volkswagens. You know what I mean? Like, it's terrible. Sorry.
Yeah, the gnats this year are horrible. Yeah. Everybody
but
was
why
asking
don't you
about
catch them.
What, gnats?
And then you can
eat them.
Yeah, just all of it. You can catch it and meal it.
No.
I'm good.
You throw it in a grill. We smoke them.
Oh, yeah, I'm good.
You know?
I'm good.
Well, okay. Turn so we can paprika. Use a collection.
But listen, I'll try anything once.
Really? Yeah,
yeah. I'll try anything once.
No kidding. Yeah, not me. Sorry.
Well, then you get to be the test guinea pig for the cell created meat.
Not that. No, either. No on that. No. Won't try. I'll try all natural stuff. I won't try man made stuff like that. Let's put it that way.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not a proponent of like dogs and horses or anything like that either. But I understand that there's places in the world that do it, and you know that's their own.
Well, remember Faces of Death and the monkey.
Yeah.
So that's not for
or
me.
Or Indiana Jones, Temple of Doom.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not for me. But I mean, I'm looking, you know, the weirdest thing I tried, I think, was fugu. And that's the blowfish that can kill you.
Ah, yeah, sure.
I had that twice.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm still here.
And you're still here. I mean, is
you had
that
a good chef? Yeah, you had a good chef.
Yeah, I had a really good chef. Really good chef. Good sushi chef. But I mean, like I said, I for the most part, I'll try anything that's naturally made.
Right. Yeah. We've heard that about you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all right.
It's all good.
I'm mad at you. So, but let's, okay. Let's All right. So general consensus, we need more information on, on Petri dish proteins. I'm not sold on it. Doubt I will be, but I'll keep an open mind, but I just don't see it happening.
How would you feel? This is a good question. I'm trying to word it the correct way. I have two pieces of chicken in front of you, and I'm not going to tell you which one is going to be lab grown and which one is going to be from Nicole's farm. Mm-hmm. And then you taste it. Would you taste it that way? Or would you have to know that that is the lab and that it, cause you,
well,
then you,
well, so, I mean, look, I'm not a prude. Right. It's not that I'm so against the act of a lab.
The concept.
Conceptually speaking, that's not my issue. My issue is it's force fed, literally. And I'm not going to do that.
Right. Here's my version of it. I want to know about the testing on it.
How do they know that it's
safe for human consumption?
I've consumed things in my life that I probably never should have, right? And it's probably worse than whatever this is. But
have you ever been to New Orleans?
Yes, I have several times.
You've probably eaten stuff that you should have never eaten.
I've also eaten a lot of fast food, so who knows what I have.
I'm talking about the drinking that you do in New Orleans.
And I've done it all, man.
Yeah, I forgot about to tell you about that night.
New Orleans is, in my estimation, infinitely more dangerous than Vegas. You can do.
Mark Twain has a quote about the cuisine is more of a sin in Vegas than in New Orleans than anywhere else.
I am in agreement with that.
It's true. I mean, the scene in because I was last year was Vegas, this year was Nala, so I have to admit, yeah.
Next year we're going to go to this
Phoenix.
Yeah, we're going for the ACF convention.
Well, like I told you. Book comes out.
You know, I gotta get Rennie on, man. You gotta, it's been, you know, it's time to get him on.
Well, he just took office Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yeah. The power was turned over on Wednesday night.
Yeah. We gotta get him on. And
speaking of which, real quick, big shout out to the Atlanta chapter for winning chapter of the year. Fantastic. That's all I know about the winners. I don't know who else won chef of the year and educator of the year. I actually was working with the chef educators of the year, and I don't know who won.
Well, you were cooking.
A little bit.
Speaking of cooking, let's talk Wagyu.
And, Wagyu.
A little farm. Okay, wait a minute. A little farm called
but I wanted for,
Circle C.
Hang on. Can we back up to that chicken real quick?
Sure.
To the question that Jeffrey asked. I think if the meats were side by side and they were both authentic in what they are, trying or consuming lab grown would be not so much of an issue.
I agree with that.
Okay.
But because of the fact that I truly think that there's an ulterior motive and design in its cellular structure and it being a conduit for alternative things, I don't believe that it's being created as it's being intentioned to be.
100%.
Especially,
and so,
they've already warned us they're going to be starting to grow humans in the lab. So,
yeah, well, and not to mention that they are looking to turn down the volume of traditional, you know, farming. You know, whether it's on the produce side or on the protein side,
right? Because it's taxing the natural resources and such.
Yeah, but they're coding. They're all proud of themselves because they're coding vegetables with the mRNA vaccine structure.
BS. It's the whole thing is BS. I don't know what to.
So it's, and we don't need to necessarily go that direction. But to your question, I think there's people that wouldn't be afraid or not willing to taste it or try it. It's just that one bite that you consume, you don't know what's really in that bite.
Right. Well.
And that would be the issue. And then the other thing is where. Because we're all in the menuing space. So what is the requirement going to be for menuing for this? Where is it going to have to be menued? Is it going to be a little asterisk at the bottom that says little C equals, or is it going to be C-C, you know, for cell cultivated meat? Like one of the things that's going to become critical is as this becomes more mainstream, then the menuing requirements are going to definitely have to be there because I mean, I don't eat much off property, off my farm anyway, but if I'm out and I want to consume it, I want a choice. I don't want to have a chicken salad handed to me that's got cultivated meat without my
I think if there was going to be like, you know, a push against this, a slogan could potentially be, this bite ain't right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And,
that's good.
Yeah. I mean, listen, this is what I do. I kind of come up with this stuff.
I know.
All right. Look,
and you're usually pretty good at it too.
It's a skill set. I mean, I can't do anything else other than that. So it's what I got. All right, then. So listen, we're 45 minutes into this beautiful podcast, Cheese Fest here, and I really want to talk about Wagyu and Circle C Farms. How about that? Can we do that?
Oh, thank you. Well, we're gonna talk beef now.
Yeah, real beef.
We're gonna get beefy.
Yeah, where's the beef?
So. It is in my pasture.
Yeah. All right.
Because it is plant-based. It's grass-fed and grass-finished.
And it's Japanese genetic Wagyu awesomeness.
Full Japanese genetics?
Full blood. Full blood. Yep. Full blood imported Japanese genetics with pedigree paper trail. And
there's a reason why I'm asking that question.
Yep. It is truly grass-fed and grass-finished. And that is one of the things that continues to separate
and
what we do apart from others.
Jeffrey, and you know what's going to happen?
I hope so.
Yeah. We are going to get some of this Wagyu beef. Uh-huh. And of course, we are going to do what we do here at Ibis Images Studios. Oh, and it's going to be fun. I mean, I can't wait.
Just two of us.
Yeah.
So the reason why I asked that question, they had a booth at the trade show at the ACF, and it was a Wagyu beef. And I can't remember the name of the farm. Sorry. I'm still in recovery mode. And they were like, one of the guys was like, it's not Wagyu. It's Wagyu and Angus. And I went, oh, it's Wangus. So I'm going to copyright that. So.
You're such a Wangus.
Wangus?
It's right next to my weenus. You know, that's where it came from.
Oh, my God.
Beep, 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 beep.
No, weenus. That's the back of your elbow.
I know, I'm messing with you.
My epidermis. Your epidermis is showing. Yes.
My goodness. But as the guy said that, I just clicked. I'm like, Wangus? I don't want any Wangus. Thanks. I will say his bologna was fantastic though.
Did it have a first name?
Yeah, it was Wangus.
Okay. All right, stop it. Listen, I don't.
Oh my lord, you right, too. So, John, how are you doing over there?
He's in a coma right now. He just had a heart attack, he passed out and died. He's like, I can't take us anymore.
From the Dorak.
Oh my gosh. Well, listen, because we have a lot of fun here. Okay. You got to understand, we've been eating in a debaucherous way for all day, really. And it's fun. So now here we are in a food coma, right? We're in a meat coma. And it's the happiest place on earth, really. Oh, all right. It really is. So
really, yes, yeah. It is.
No.
That's true.
We're not talking about Wagyu here. I want to get into the meat.
When is it? When you were releasing it, or like, is it on your website now?
Oh, I released it 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I did, and so what we've done is we've created a really nice little collection. So we have our 21 plus day dry aged black Wagyu beef. We have our Akashi, which is our red Wagyu, and that's also aged. And we're offering a not aged black Wagyu. So that way people have choices and they can do comparisons and they can do a Wagyu feast and they can grab different cuts and they can really enjoy the flavor profiles that are very different between the three styles or the three opportunities.
It's a Wagyu-palooza.
Yeah.
No, come on. That was all right.
The dad jokes.
Oh my gosh.
I'm so sorry.
you know, you're sitting there, you look like my daughter when I do this. Like, this gives me the same
some
face.
Of them you just, come I'm on. Just, yeah.
Wagyupalooza. Come on, man.
Wagyupalooza.
Right. I'll give you that. You're showing
it's
your
a
age
beef
when
fest.
It's
done.
Whatever.
I like hers. I like Meat Fest better.
Of course you do.
Meat Fest.
That's we did. Yeah, we done. Of course you do. All right. So, how do they find
the Wagyu?
How do they find the Wagyu? Where do they go?
On our website.
Mm-hmm.
It would be eatcirclecfarm.com.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. Here's what's going to happen. At some point we're going to be doing this party like I told you about. At
Marvin's.
Okay. Uh-huh. On the farm.
Nicole's invited, of course.
Duh.
So once this occurs, we're going to let you know.
No lab chicken.
No lab chicken.
And
we're
gonna have
Yeah, we're going to have a blast. Maybe you could bring some of that Wagyu just for like a couple of special plates. You know what I'm saying?
Poops and giggles.
For poops and giggles. Yeah.
John just excluded Carl.
You guys.
Yeah, all of a sudden. All right, so Nicole, I appreciate you spending some time with us on the Walk and Talk podcast.
Absolutely.
I do want to thank everybody for like
we're 336,345 downloads since May.
Yeah,
God, thank you guys.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
Top 10, top 5 in Apple Podcast charts, man. I mean, woo.
Yeah, thank you, everyone.
I'm excited. I really am.
Are you going to do the Ric Flair next time?
Woo! Yeah, I love it. All right. Thanks again, Nicole. You're awesome. John.
My pleasure.
Jeffrey,
thank you.
You guys are the bestest ever, and we are out. Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.